Today on the show, I'm back from Japan with heaps of news. The New York to Dublin portal showcases the worst of humanity, plus my thoughts on the Switch 2, all that and more on 20th Century Boy, the show that thought Baby Reindeer was a Christmas song. Welcome to 20th Century Boy. My name is Melbourne Mike, and this is the inside of my mind. Welcome to the show. First one back, like, proper live for a few weeks because, as I said in the intro, I'm back from Japan. I had a fantastic 18 days traveling through Japan. It was awesome, and it's really sad to be back. Sad and unhappy. Like, I was definitely in the last couple of days, I was like, oh yeah, I could go home now. But it's always sad to leave an overseas trip and a holiday. It was great to have some time away again. I mean, I've been pretty lucky. I've gone on two overseas holidays in the last year, 12 months, I guess. Like, I was in Europe last year, Japan. I also was in the Gold Coast. I'm living a happy life, which is very lucky. But really, yeah, I'm fumbling a bit because I'm just trying to remember how to do a podcast because I haven't done one in 3 weeks. But it's really good to be back. I had a great time in Japan, and I should start off by saying I'm trying to think of how I want to make content about the Japan holiday. I think there's going to be a few different things I'm going to do, right? We're going to do a world tour series, me and Claire. We did one with our Europe trip. We're going to do one with our Japan trip. So there'll just be little updates and like little maybe 30-minute podcast detailing our trip, funny stories, funny things that happened. That'll be good. And then I also want to do a video because a few people messaged me with just asking for advice on traveling to Japan. Also, I'm going to do a video / podcast on traveling to Japan tips. I've been 4 times now. That was my 4th trip there over the last sort of 10 years or so. And I feel like I know a lot about, you know, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what's good, what you need, all of that. So I'm going to make a little mini pod just by myself that's like, yeah, best things to do in Japan. And I'm also going to do a review of Universal Studios Osaka, which I think is the best theme park in the world. And that's going to be separate to all of that. I'm going to do a bunch of content about the trip, right? If I can do it, you know, this podcast, and I've been doing a lot of thinking about the pod when I was away for multiple reasons, but you know, there's always an ep of 20th Century Boy every Thursday. And then there's bonus content on the feed all the time. I should also thank producer Pat. We did a bunch of Pat and Mike episodes on the main feed every Friday for a couple months, which was awesome. It was great to have those. For the time being, we're going to put them back on Patreon. So can I implore you, now that I am back, if you want to hear Pat and Mike, if you heard it on the feed and enjoy it, you want to keep hearing it, patreon.com/radiomike. Just sign up. It's the best way to support the show. It does really, really help fund the show. You know, this show is completely independently produced. Everything I do is completely independently produced. You know, I would like to get sponsors. I would like to get, you know, people like helping fund this show, but it's kind of hard. So you guys, the listeners, if you like the show and you like my content, any of my content, whether you like just 20th Century Boy, whether you really enjoyed Pat and Mike, whether you like Harry Potter and the Boys, whether you like my YouTube stuff, signing up to my Patreon is just a great way to give a little bit of support. And if it's like $4 a month, you know, and you get an episode of TCB, a Pat and Mike, a couple YouTube videos a month, and if you just enjoy my content generally, you know, sign up. I feel like it's pretty good value. And if you've been listening for a while, thinking about signing up and wanting to support, you know, we also do the movie club at the end of every month. If you're enjoying that content, please sign up. I cannot implore you more. I would love for you guys to sign up. So there you go. There's my plug for the Patreon. A lot of thoughts. The first thing I did plug, because I did a bunch of pre-recorded episodes and I did plug on all of them that I was doing. You can head to my Instagram and check out my photos and stuff. Would have been completely empty because decided on the trip after a lot of thinking that I was going to delete Instagram and TikTok from my phone and I wasn't going to access them while I was there. Made that decision for a few reasons. I talked a little bit about how I just was like, as it happens with me, went through a little bit of a like down period in terms of mental health, realized that like Instagram and TikTok in particular contribute to a lot of that, to a lot of my convoluted thinking. And I was like, oh, I don't know, like maybe I just experiment without them. And I did, and I was really happy without those platforms, particularly TikTok, which I feel like I waste a lot of time on. And it was really good. So I didn't post anything during the trip. I am back now posting photos from the trip. So go follow me at Radio Mike on Instagram to check out a bunch of photos of the cool stuff we did. But while I was there, didn't want to use Instagram. And as I said, yeah, was really refreshing. Just didn't feel like I had to know what everyone was doing, had to see everyone's stories. And it's amazing that when Instagram's gone, you just, like, you don't even think about it. I didn't miss it. Like, I didn't miss checking stories. I didn't miss seeing people's photos and stuff, which makes me think that it's not even, like, an addiction that's hard to break. It's just that it's there that I use it. Anyway, a lot of thinking about that because I thought a lot about as well, like, this, and I talked about it on the pre-recorded eps a bit, I think, about the direction of content now, how it's all, like, short form, really try to hook you in within the first second. Everything goes for 30 seconds. Everything's just like quick cuts. And realizing like it's all disposable content that I don't even necessarily enjoy. What I enjoy more is the long form stuff, you know, talking about stuff that I like, not just try to chop stuff up. And for a while, I feel like with the pod and even with Harry Potter and the Boys, like I was more thinking about how I can adapt the stuff into short form than actually just talking about stuff that I wanted. And I feel like it jilted me a little bit. So I've just got a different thought now. I want to do more YouTube videos, like 8 to 10 minute videos. So subscribe to my YouTube channel. I might also put the audio of those videos that I do on this feed. I don't know. I'm still working it out. Always will be working it out. But yeah, not having social media really, really helped clear up a lot of my mental health stuff. So that's just maybe food for thought, something worth trying. I do definitely think I have a level of addiction to social media and I don't want that. I want to, yeah, be a little bit more separated from it, and I'm always trying. I'm going to write a little bit more in my blog. I did take probably 4 weeks off that. I didn't write a blog. I was going to, but I'm going to write about it this week. So check my blog, radiomike.substack.com. And you can read, I'm basically like trying to curate a bunch of written stuff, just short, you know, 3 to 5 minute reads. And it's all on my website as well, radiomike.com.au/blog. So go there, read some of my stuff. I'm going to write about going on a holiday without social media this week. So I'd love for you to read it and check it out. And yeah, again, if you like it, Patreon is there as well. Okay. I've got a ton of stuff to talk about. I'm feeling really energized and ready to just sort of jump straight back into it. And I thought, what's a good way I can sort of wrap up sort of a bunch of, I guess, mildly interesting things that happened when we last spoke? And then I remembered that we have this segment. 5 mildly interesting things that have happened since we last spoke. Japan edition. Yeah, this is a Japan edition of 5 mildly interesting things that happened since we last spoke. And 5 barely scratches the surface, right? And I had to talk about a bunch of these things because they're all mildly interesting. And I thought you guys might be interested in hearing them. These are all related to my Japan trip. But again, there will be more content expanding on some of this. So I guess we'll start off with number one. Number one is, had my best flight of my life on the flight home from Tokyo to Melbourne, okay? Best flight of my life. Not in business class or first class. Unfortunately, do not have the funds to do that. But I basically, it's a 10.5 hour flight, Tokyo to Melbourne, direct flight, flew with Qantas, decent airline to fly. And essentially boarded the plane around 8:30 at night, okay? They served dinner at about 10 plane dinner was actually quite nice on Qantas. You know, I don't mind the Qantas dinner. And we were, you know, I during the sort of 8:30 till 10, I was just, I think I watched a few episodes of a TV show or something like that. Had the dinner, popped on my noise-canceling headphones, fell asleep, quite quickly fell asleep, woke up, right? You know, in one of those sleeps where you don't even realize you've fallen asleep, which might actually be all sleeps, I'm not sure. Woke up, looked at the thing, because if you've been on a long-haul flight, you know there's like a map and it shows you where you are on the planet and it says how long to go. Woke up, looked at the thing, hour and a half left on the flight. Managed to sleep from about 10 till 6 a.m., right? Managed to get a full night's sleep on economy on a plane, in economy on a plane. Woke up at 6. Literally, they served breakfast and I just sat there and chatted to Claire. 7:30, we were on the ground. Bam. Best flight of my life. Had a fantastic time. So really wanted to share that. Just thought it was mildly interesting for you. And, you know, especially because when we flew to Europe, we had two stopovers. We went Melbourne, Singapore, 8 hours. Singapore, Dubai, 8 hours. I don't know why we did two stopovers. And then Dubai, Lisbon, another 8 hours. And I don't think I slept well on any of them. And that was like, you know, nearly 30 hours of travel all up. Whereas with this, 10 hours and I skipped 8 of it by being asleep. Let's go on to number 2. This is an interesting one because I only actually found out about this when I got back. But basically, the main company that I work for, well, Listener, who I casually produce for, particularly on Hamish and Andy, I have like an email address with the company, and like a lot of company emails come in through that. And I wasn't really checking my emails during the trip because, you know, I was on holidays. I wasn't trying to think about work. I really wanted a hard break from work. But I realized on, when was it? It must have been like the last day we were there, we were in Japan. I was like, oh, I'm actually not even getting any emails because my password for this email has expired. So I'm going to have to change my password. So I change my password while I'm in the hotel Wi-Fi in Japan and it all goes smoothly. So then, you know, I start getting emails in, everything's okay. Anyway, then sort of later in that day, I get a missed call from the head of engineering, who's like who I know from the company. And obviously I can't answer the call because I'm overseas. I'm not getting calls in, but I get the text saying missed call, right? And I can't call back. So I just leave it. I assume it's not urgent. And then I fly back to Melbourne. And yesterday at the time of recording, we recorded Hamish and Andy and I saw this guy and he said, oh, you know, when you changed your password in Japan, you set off like a bunch of security like alarms at the company, and the head of like security at our company rang me and was like freaking out because it said you were trying to reset your password from Japan and we thought it was like a hacker trying to hack into the company. And then he's like, I went on your Instagram, but I couldn't see any photos of you in Japan. So I was like, oh yeah, he's definitely being hacked. And then I said, oh no, because I deleted Instagram because I was having a mental health breakdown. So it's funny that the chain of events that I deleted my Instagram for my holiday led to them not being able to realize I was in Japan because there was really no evidence that I was in Japan. So when it said I was trying to change my password from Japan, they genuinely were like, oh, okay, well, he's definitely being hacked. But at the end of the day, they got onto someone else who knew I was in Japan. But it is just funny that, you know, Instagram allows us to know where everyone is and he didn't know where I was because I wasn't on Instagram. Thought that was mildly interesting. I don't know. Number 3. This one is maybe if you're hungry, you might be frustrated at this, but had one of the best dinners of my life in Tokyo early on in the trip. Claire found it on TikTok and it was a really nice noodle place with a twist. Gonna recommend it here. It was called Shin Udon. in the Shinjuku kind of area in Tokyo. And what's the twist, I hear you asking? What's the twist, Mike? Well, I'll tell you. It was a carbonara-style udon noodle. So it was like, yeah, udon noodles with carbonara sauce and a tempura bacon. I'll say that again, a tempura bacon. That's like bacon wrapped in beer batter or what, or like tempura batter. I don't know what the difference is. And it was undisputably the best meal I've ever had. It was beyond, like, I have never had bacon that tasted that good. It was an unbelievable flavor. And I know your mouth is watering right now just hearing it. So make it a mission to do that in your life if you ever go to Japan. Shin udon. It was, we wanted to go again, but we ran out of time. Disappointing. Number four. Okay, this one's, this is a mildly interesting thing, which is the purpose of the segment, I guess. So the barista at my local cafe in Melbourne, here in Richmond, Black Gold, her name is Miyu. She's Japanese. So even before the trip, I was telling her, oh, we're going to Japan, blah, 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 chatting to her about it. She's lovely. And got back, started talking to her, and I came up with this great idea. And I said to her, oh, Miyu, can I practice Japanese with you? So, because I go there every morning for a coffee. I get a coffee every morning at Black Gold. If you ever want to celeb spot me, I'm always there. And so I said, can I come in? And I'll, because I want to learn to speak Japanese, like basic conversational Japanese. Can I come in and you speak to me the way you would speak to me if we were in, if we were both Japanese? And like, I'll order my coffee in Japanese and we'll chat in Japanese. And she was like, yeah, that sounds awesome. So now every morning I'm going into Black Gold and going to Miyu. Ohayou gozaimasu, Miyu-san. O genki desu ka? Which is, good morning, Miyu. How are you? And she says, hi, genki desu. Yes, I'm well. And then usually I say, skinny latte or kudasai. Can I order a skinny latte? And then each time so far, I've gone in with a different question or phrase for her that I've gone and learnt. For example, the other day, it was my first day back at work, and I said, kyou wa shigoto ga aru. Kyou wa shigoto ga aru. And that means today I have work. And then she asked me, what do you do for work? And then I went on Google Translate and typed in, I'm a podcast producer. And then today I said, kyou wa totemo samui. Kyou wa totemo samui, which means today it's very cold. And then she pointed at, I was wearing a t-shirt. She said, well, you're just wearing a t-shirt. It's great. It actually is really cool because she's like teaching me things and she's saying, like, today I actually also asked Miyu-san, nansai desu ka, which is how old are you? And she said, yes. And I said, Jiu-san, which means 13, but I thought it meant 30. So I said 13 and then she laughed. Pretty embarrassing, but it's been really fun and I'm looking forward to learning some more Japanese. Number five, the best one. Cut the music. I did a blog recently about my experience in life on roller coasters and why I think they're a great analogy for anxiety, okay? And while I was in Japan, I went on the steepest roller coaster in the world, asterisk. Steepest roller coaster in the world, asterisk. At the bottom of Mount Fuji, literally, it's the weirdest thing, there is an amusement park called Fuji Q. If you're watching the video version, I am currently wearing a Fuji Q t-shirt that I got there because we went to Mount Fuji and on the bus there, you stop at Fuji Q. And I said to Claire, oh, let's go in here. It's free entry. So I was like, all right, I'm going to suss it out. Saw this ride called the Takabishi. Looked it up on Wikipedia. Steepest roller coaster in the world, asterisk. The reason I keep saying asterisk is because they rebuilt the exact same coaster in America, which is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles themed, funnily enough. And They made it. They made the drop 0.5 degrees steeper, which is like, I still think I've pretty much been on the steepest ride in the world. Okay. It is incredible. And I was so scared, but Claire was like, you know, you, every time you go on a roller coaster, you're really scared, but then you love it when you come off, which is true. Wrote about it in my blog, go read it, link in description. And, so I bought a ticket. It's free entry into the park. You just pay for the ride. So I just went on this one ride and it was the best thing I have ever done. It was so scary, but it was awesome. I actually might do some separate content around it as well, but, Claire didn't come on it. She was all roller coastered out on the trip, which is fair enough, but she filmed it when I was on. And so what happens is you're on this ride and then you go up the chain completely vertical. So you're facing the sky and you can see Mount Fuji in the background and you're going up on a complete vertical incline. And then it drops you down this like curve that's like, you know, you can't even see the track. It's that steep, right? Really scary. And Claire kind of filmed the a lot of it. I'll put the video up on Instagram eventually, but I did want to cut the audio because you can hear me screaming pretty prominently. Here is some of the audio of me on the steepest roller coaster in the world. And you can hear that's Claire laughing at me, but you can, I get louder as I get closer to where she's standing. It like crescendos here. Such an awesome time, and you know, more content to come. But there was one other thing I wanted to do, because over on Harry Potter and the Boys a few weeks ago, I talked with Sam about how one of the most embarrassing things you can do is Shazam a song in public. Go listen to Harry Potter and the Boys, the other podcast. But I actually heard a bunch of music in Japan that I really liked, so I Shazammed a bunch of songs to find them. So I wanted to do a new segment, and it's called this: 5 Songs I Shazammed in Japan. So just 5 cool songs, and what we're working with here is probably 2 to 3 seconds, because I put this podcast up on YouTube, as some of you might know, and YouTube will copyright strike if you've got like more than 5 seconds. So I'm going to describe the song and the context where I heard it. And this is just to recommend some Japanese music I found that I thought was cool. And I'm going to play about 2 to 3 seconds. And then in the Spotify poll this week, there's a poll on every Spotify episode. I'm going to put what's the best song of these 5, do you reckon? And I'll do the results. So vote in the poll. Number one, I was at this record store in Tokyo called Tower Records. It's really cool there. Go there if you're ever in Japan. And you know, it's like the old music stores in Australia, where like they have the CDs and you put the headphones on and you can sample the music. Saw this really cool album cover, so I decided to look up the song. I decided to Shazam the song because I thought it was cool and I thought the album cover was cool. This song is called Star Runner, and it is by I think it's Pony Pony featuring Pykes. Don't know who they are, but here's a bit of Star Runner. That's all you get. Make a decision based on these snippets. Really enjoyed that. Next one I think I heard in Harajuku. It was just playing on the speakers on the street. Shazammed it. It's more of a hip-hop kind of vibe. And the song is called Stormy, and it's by Nissi featuring Sky High. So this is Stormy. That's the chorus. The rap is much more like rap. The verse, rather, is much more rap. So there's that one. Number 3 might be my personal favorite. The song is, I think I heard it at a supermarket The song is called Level Up by Travis Japan, possibly not his real name. And the reason I liked it is because the lyrics are, there's a lot of video game analogies. It's a boy band, kind of. I got Five Sauce or even Jonas Brothers vibes, and it's all like, you gotta level up, you gotta get the cheat codes, I'm beating you. And then the chorus is, play like a Game Boy, and I really enjoyed that, so I Shazammed it. Here's a bit of Level Up by Travis Japan. Play like a Game Boy. Has that like 8-bit kind of sound there as well. Really like that one. Number four, this song is by a band called B-Dash. B, letter B, hyphen dash. Couldn't find them on Spotify or any information about them on Wikipedia or anything. But the song is called Hey Wajima. And I think when you hear this, you'll see, to me, this sounds very much like the Japanese kind of Green Day. Take a listen to Hey Wajima by B Dash. Like a bit of that, check out B Dash. And finally, this song's called Cobalt Blue by The Back Horn, who are apparently like a decently well-known punk band from the 90s. Heard this one in a clothing store in Tokyo, and this one is much more maybe like The Living End or The Offspring punk vibes. Take a listen. Yeah, so that's those are five songs I Shazammed. Vote in the poll, which one is your favorite song? Would really appreciate that. Okay, I've got just probably two more things I want to talk about on this episode. So first thing is, have you guys heard about this portal in New York and Dublin? The New York to Dublin portal. So essentially what it is like this, in both New York and Dublin, they've put up like a circular kind of screen that I guess looks like a portal, like what Doctor Strange would make. And essentially it's just a 24-hour FaceTime kind of call. No, I mean, it's not FaceTime. It's a video of base. Okay, why is this so hard to explain? You're in New York. You look through the portal and you can see people in Dublin in real time, right? And then if you're in Dublin, you look through the portal, you see the people in New York. Really cool idea, cool art installation kind of thing, you know, this live kind of view onto another part of the world. It would, you know, it'd be like if in Melbourne you're looking through and you see like Germany or whatever, right? I think it's a really cool idea, you know? This is a form of human connection that would never have been possible in you know, years and years ago, right? It's just an interesting thing. Like, you're standing there, you're looking right at someone through the portal, and it's someone in Dublin, and you're just like, hi, and they're like, hi, and you're like, cool. And I think it's a really interesting idea, really cool. But what I've realized is that for some reason, the portal, like most things, I think, the portal has, sorry, it's really cold in here and I've got the AC on. I'm just going to turn it off because I'm actually shivering while I'm talking and then I'm like, I need to turn this off. Sorry about that, guys, bit of an interjection. Okay, the portal has just brought out the worst of humanity. Like, someone has this great idea for this cool art installation that links the world and shows, you know, the world is alive everywhere, right? You know, and sometimes I think that. It's like all the places I went in Tokyo, like, they're still there right now, but I'm so far away from them. Same, you know, and it's just an interesting thing. Two busy cities connected by this screen, this portal. And you know, there were people there like who had friends in Dublin and they'd both go to the portal and wave. And there's people who, you know, would just sit there and watch, just be like, oh, these people are on the other side of the world. It's crazy. And yeah, unfortunately, it's brought out the worst in humanity. And I don't know why as humans we just turn everything into a mockery, I guess, because I mean, the first thing I read was I actually thought was kind of innocent in a sense. Like I don't think this was actually that bad. And you're like, oh yeah, that's a funny thing to do, I guess. Which is essentially like within hours of it being there, a woman in America flashed her boobs to the portal, and everyone in Dublin saw her boobs, which is crazy to think about, right? That like this, you know, to go back in time and tell someone in like the 1500s, one day you'll be able to stare into the other side of the world through a portal and flash your tits at them. Like they would just be like, I don't even remotely understand that. But yeah, so a woman flashes her boobs. Cool. That's funny. That's fun. It's a little bit cheeky, but like, you know, of course you'd do that, right? It's not super harmful. And I think she was quoted as saying, I just wanted to show the Irish some New York grown potatoes, because potatoes obviously very big in Ireland. So that was funny. I think that's fun. I think she was an OnlyFans star, bit of publicity, cool. But then it just started becoming this thing, apparently, where most people started just making rude gestures at the people in the other country. So people would just stand there and put their middle finger up, or people would just stand there and like insult the other people, and it just became like really mean-spirited and rude. And then the final thing I saw is just people in Dublin just started holding up pictures of 9/11 and showing them to the people in New York. Just showed videos and pictures of 9/11 and just held them up to the screen, which is just like so insensitive and wrong on so many levels. It's just like, okay, we've got this connection. People are going to gaze into it and just, you know, be amazed at the marvel of the world and the size of the world, how big it is, how grand the world is, how connected we can be. But instead people are like, I'm going to hold up a picture of like one of the worst terror attacks in the world and hold it up to people who grew up in that city and probably grew up through that terror attack. That's what I'm going to do with this. It just has brought out the worst in people. Like flashing your boobs is inappropriate, but I think it's fun. There's a bit of fun in that. People would be happy with that. But then you're holding and then putting your middle finger up. Okay, now you're just making a mockery of it. But then holding up the Twin Towers is like a deliberate, like what do you think they're going to, how do you think they're going to respond? I don't know. Just a very awesome idea, a very cool art installation, a very cool human thing that is again ruined by humans, the worst animals on the planet. And sorry, the thing I didn't say is it got closed down within like 3 days of being open. They shut it off because it was just too inappropriate. It was just too offensive and people were just misusing it so badly that like, all right, we just have to shut it down. That's where human society is now. We literally have an amazing idea and then within 3 years, we can't do it. We just can't do it because everyone's going to... We can't trust people to just respect it. Anyway, that's the portal. I found it. I wish I could have seen it. I think it's a really cool idea, but it's it's a massive shame. Final thing probably is while I was away, like I missed a bunch of stuff, by the way, but the main thing I just wanted to quickly talk about is Nintendo announced the successor to the Nintendo Switch. Like they've announced that they basically announced that they will announce it soon. So on Twitter, we got this tweet from the official Nintendo account. This is Furukawa, president of Nintendo. We will make an announcement about the successor to Nintendo Switch within this fiscal year. It will have been over 9 years since we announced the existence of Nintendo Switch back in March 2015. We will be holding a Nintendo Direct this June regarding the Nintendo Switch software lineup for the latter half of 2024, but please be aware that there will be no mention of the Nintendo Switch successor during that presentation. And there's been a lot of leaks and stuff, and if you're into gaming, cool, so am I. Like, it's been known for a while that Nintendo would have to have been working on a successor to the Switch. And I should do some, like, I should talk about this on another app or in a video, because I think the Switch, if you all know what it is, I think it was genuinely like one of the best innovations in gaming history. And it saw Nintendo back to the top at a time where they were like really, really performing badly and like was really at risk of going under. The Switch just completely revolutionized that and became one of the most best-selling consoles in history. I love the Switch. I've loved it. I've had one since the start and I've always really loved it. But I am really looking forward to the Switch 2 because I think the Switch is now a little bit too old and they need to bring something else out. But here's the thing. Nintendo have a history of like being really bad at marketing consoles, like other than the Switch. Like they had the Wii, that was their other really successful console, sold heaps, really well marketed. And Wii, you know, in English sounded like Wii, as in like you play together, we play. That's what it was, right? Then they put out their next console, which was called the Wii U. And no one really understood what a Wii U was because it was just named really weirdly. And the Wii U failed spectacularly. It was poorly marketed. Everything about it was wrong. Then circle back to like PlayStation, for example. PlayStation is very clear. You had the PlayStation, then you had the PlayStation 2, then the PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, and now PlayStation 5. Very simple naming convention that makes it very easy for the consumer to know it's the next iteration of PlayStation, right? I'm sure it'll be PS6. I'm sure they'll eventually do PS7, PS8, PS9. You know, they'll just keep iterating like the number. And that's a great thing because it's so easy for anyone to understand what the newest PlayStation is, okay? Xbox is I'm mixed on because they had Xbox, then they had Xbox 360, which was like the second Xbox, and I guess it was like 360, like a full circle, you know? Then they had Xbox One, that was the next one. And I remember PlayStation had a great tagline at the time when they went, so Xbox One was around the same time as PS4, so it went Xbox 360 to Xbox One, PS3 to PS4. And PlayStation's put out this ad that was like, we took one step forward, they took 359 steps back because they went 360 to one, which I thought was very clever. And then when PS4 went to PS5, Xbox went from Xbox One to Xbox Series X. And the Series X, like I've never seen anyone with one and I thought that was a really bad naming convention. And these things matter. Like when you're marketing a product, like these things genuinely really matter. And so Nintendo just often has really bad names for their products, which is why I thought Switch was a really good idea because the whole premise of the thing is you can switch between handheld and TV. That's what it is. It's Switch. Switch handheld, Switch TV. That's a genius name, very easy to understand, very easy to market. That's why it was a success. So all they need to do, right, and I really hope they just do this, all they need to do is call it the Switch 2. They do not need to do anything else. A lot of people are saying like, nah, call it the Super Switch or call it like the Switch Plus or whatever it is. And I'm like, no, call it the new Switch because they would do like, they had like Nintendo DS, then Nintendo DSi, Nintendo DS Lite, and then they did the new Nintendo DS or the new Nintendo 3DS or something. Just very confusing. Just call it the Switch 2. Makes it very, very simple for everyone to understand that this is the new Switch. If you call it Super Switch, Switch Plus, everyone's going to think, well, all the casual people are going to think, oh, maybe it's just like an attachment. Maybe it's just like an upgrade, like you don't have to get it, like the Switch OLED, right? Switch 2 makes it very clear to everyone exactly what it is. It's the new Switch. It is the Switch 2. It is better than the Switch 1. Makes it very clear. I am really hoping Nintendo learns their lesson on this one, but I have my doubts and I worry that they're going to come out with a really stupid name and I hope they don't do that. I really, really hope they don't do that. Just call it Switch 2. That is my theory. That is my thought. I'm really worried for them, guys. I really want them to not screw it up. And as far as the Switch 2 goes, like I think they'll get it right as long as they name and market it properly as an upgrade, as a new Switch, as a new console. Wii to Wii U, people didn't get it. They didn't understand what was different about it. It failed. Switch to Switch 2, just do it. Nike, just do it. And that's my theory, okay? One more very quick thing before I wrap. This is courtesy of friend of the show, Dave Lee Down Under, who posted a tweet that went really viral, and I thought it was really interesting. So he linked a video from some TikTok creator who I think his name is Easton something, and he was on the red carpet premiere, I assume in the US, for the new Planet of the Apes movie. I think it's Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Always had an issue with those Planet of the Apes titles. The ones that were like Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Too many of the, you know? Just call it Rise of the Apes, Dawn of the... Like, anyway, I'm nitpicking. But basically it was this TikTok creator who was on the red carpet interviewing one of the stars of the film, and he was doing like a prank of like, I'm going to just ask a question and then start mumbling with, and then see how they react. And like, this is what happened.
Acting in this movie, it's a little bit different because you're not playing a human. Was there any part of the picture when you really say Yuta Nusa?
Sorry?
Was there any part during the filming, is you like, you really tell YouTuber?
What?
Just like filming, like, was there any part where you like really like start like giving me get it?
So, he's got this opportunity to go and interview like celebrities on a red carpet for a big movie, and he's going, I'm going to turn it into a joke. And like at first, because Dave Lee did this tweet and he's like, oh, this is the state. Essentially, it was like, this is where, it was a sarcastic tweet saying this is the state of film journalism now. It's just studios letting in popular TikTokers who are just there to make a stupid meme and a stupid thing. And at first I was like, oh, like I get, I don't find it funny, but I get that it's funny. And at the same time, like any publicity for the film, I guess, is good. But then I kind of thought more about it, and it went hand in hand with what I think is the problem with content today, which is just it's all these people who just want to do some shit idea, some shit thing, and they have this like, I don't know, like this public nuisance stuff I just don't think is funny anymore. Just like, oh, I'm gonna, like, this is my prank. I'm gonna do it. Like, I think, and maybe it's because I'm like getting older. Like, I want like proper thought out content now. That's why I'm doing I'm writing stuff. That's why I'm like trying to avoid falling into like the TikTok trap and the shorts trap and all of that stuff, and just wanting to make content that has opinion and is valuable, not just like stupid stuff that's like, this will go viral. Because I feel like everyone now is like, what can I do that will go viral? And then how can I do that 800 times to get heaps of followers? And yeah, I think it just stuff like that kind of annoys me. And this is where I'm at. You're probably thinking, oh, Mike's like really grumpy old guy now. But like, I feel like I'm just over it. And I think a lot of people are too. Like, I want to watch like stuff that people have thought out, not an endless feed of TikToks of dumb shit that has no discernible end point and no purpose, which is the problem with TikTok and the problem that TikTok created. And it sucks. But anyway, let's do this. The plug. Really good to be back. So I'm just going to plug, for Harry Potter and the Boys listeners, I underestimated how many episodes we needed to pre-record, so there was no ep this week. It will be back next week. Apologies for that if you were hanging out for that. Go and listen to that pod. It's been great the last few weeks, but it's always great. My blog, of course, as well. Please check out my blog. I love doing it, and I hope you enjoy reading it, and I'll link it everywhere. Instagram, Twitter, and the YouTube channel. There's going to be a bunch of content going up. I have heaps and heaps of content, ideas that I'll hopefully get to, including, where are we at? Just lots of cool stuff, guys. I'm not going to read out the ideas, but you know, just stuff on movies and pop culture and cool things I've noticed, go and watch some of my videos. And yeah, consider jumping on the Patreon as well, patreon.com/RadioMike. Thank you so much for listening. I'm glad to be back. Glad to be back doing this, and I will catch you next week. And yeah, my name's been Radio Mike. This has been The Inside of My Mind. See you later. I'm not afraid of the dark.